Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Smart businesses advertise on local radio. Durand's WRDN, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM. Business owners, listen up. What's the one advertising method that doesn't cost your customers money? Radio. It's portable. It's in cars, offices, homes, and businesses, and free to your potential customers. Radio works. Ask our advertisers, and you'll want your business on Durand's WRDN radio at 1430 AM and now at 107.3 FM. Call 672-8989 today.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that wasn't your fault, we have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions. They'll tell you if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-710-5220. So if you've been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, call now. Find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-710-5220 to speak with a live person now.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center. May not be available in all states.
Your gas light's on. We need to fill up.
Gas around here is too expensive.
Don't drive all over searching for the lowest prices. Just download the free Upside app and get cash back for every gallon of gas you buy. I've already made around $200.
You can make that kind of cash back just for buying gas? I'm stopping now to download Upside and fill up my tank. Download the free Upside app to earn real cash back every time you buy gas. Cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or e-gift card. Download the free Upside app now and use promo code RADIO for an extra 25 cents per gallon cash back on your first fill up. That's promo code RADIO.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and at least five now confirmed dead following last night's storms in southeast Texas. Winds between 80 and 100 miles per hour tore through downtown Houston, blowing out windows and ripping sides off buildings, and a tornado also spotted in the Cypress area. ABC News meteorologist Melissa Griffin says those storms are still on the march.
Thankfully, Texas has expired all of their flood watches as these storms move east, but we still have that flooding threat from New Orleans and Baton Rouge straight across the Gulf Coast, right into Pensacola and the panhandle of Florida, up into parts of southern Alabama. This is through tomorrow.
Israeli forces say troops have recovered the bodies of three hostages in Gaza taken by Hamas in the October 7th attacks. Number one golfer in the world, Scottie Scheffler, arrested this morning in Louisville after attempting to drive past an officer and roadblock for an unrelated fatal accident. He was later released and is participating in today's PGA Championship final. This is ABC News. The Vatican is cracking down on reports of the supernatural.
The Vatican laying out new criteria on what gets officially declared a supernatural phenomenon, essentially saying it'll no longer just be taking local bishops' word for it. Reports of things like crying statues and the like have increased lately, helped in part by social media. The new doctrine noting there are cases where profit, power, fame, social recognition, or other personal interest are derived, even to the point of, quote, exerting control over people or carrying out abuses. Inez de la Quatera, ABC News. At the Foreign Desk.
It is official. Paul McCartney is a billionaire. The former Beatle is the first British musician to be worth over $1 billion. According to the annual Sunday Times Rich List, McCartney's wealth growing by about $50 million since last year, thanks in part to his most recent tour. McCartney ranked 165th overall on the list of the UD 350 richest people. I'm Michelle Franz on ABC News.
My son loves to fly kites, but my active psoriatic arthritis can sometimes hold me back. Now with Skyrizi to treat my skin and joints, I'm ready to go. Skyrizi, risankizumab riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults, helps with less joint pain, stiffness, swelling, and fatigue. For those who also have plaque psoriasis, 90% clearer skin is possible with just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
With Skyrizi, there's nothing like clearer skin and better movement, and that means everything. Ask your doctor about Skyrizi today and visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. Another dismembered body part has been located along Lake Michigan, this time in Illinois. Police in Waukegan say an arm was spotted along a lakeside beach there. The Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office says they've contacted the family of Sade Robinson about that discovery, though there'll be no confirmation on who the arm belongs to until DNA results are returned. Several of Robinson's remains are found around Milwaukee County since she was reported missing following a first date she had with 33-year-old Maxwell Anderson on April 1st. Anderson is charged with first-degree intentional homicide, mutilating a corpse in connection with the 19-year-old woman's death. Meanwhile, Anderson's attorneys will receive more time to review the case. In court Thursday, Anderson's defense attorney, Anthony Cotton, says they've been provided a hard drive from the state with police reports, surveillance video, and crime lab reports.
The state has been very good about providing discovery to the defense. There have been really no communication issues or anything of that nature. But once I have the material reviewed, then we'll be prepared to schedule accordingly.
Anderson will return to court in mid-July. That's a decision that frustrates Robinson's family.
Just one closure and wanting this to be able to move forward quickly.
One person is dead after police respond to a stabbing in Beloit. The Wisconsin Department of Justice says when police found a woman who had been stabbed, they also spotted another person at the scene who was armed with what authorities call an edged weapon. When that person threatened to harm a second person supposedly in the home, an officer used a less lethal option to subdue them. When that didn't work, a second officer shot the armed person who died at the scene. The woman who was stabbed is hospitalized in stable condition. Police later found no one inside the home. One officer was treated for minor injuries. The officers involved are on administrative leave. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Abundant sunshine today and summer-like temperatures for the entire weekend. In fact, today we'll climb to the upper 70s and flirt with 80 degrees, and then we soar into the mid-80s for tomorrow. Chances of showers and thunderstorms fire up in the afternoon. Grandpa's barbecue sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. It's 77 degrees at our studios.
Again here on the show. And then at the end of the program, we're going to talk with Alan Schaefer from the Engine Technology Forum. All that more coming up here today on AOA. But let's kick things off and let's talk with the U.S. Soybean Export Council. Joining us now, he is the chair of USEC. Lance Rezac from Kansas is with us. Lance, great to talk with you again. How's planting going in your neck of the woods there in Kansas?
Well, we're doing quite well. We've actually wrapped up planting down here. We got started in April. We had a good dry April. And then May's been a little rainy. Farmers for generally, for the most part, are getting along pretty well. But there's still some planting, especially beans, that need planted here in Kansas.
Well, and good to hear things have been rolling along pretty well in your neck of the woods. And happy to have you here on the show today. I know you were recently part of a USDA agriculture trade mission to India. A lot of talk about this trade mission. Can you tell us a little bit more about your experience there?
Yeah, sure. I'd be happy to do that. Yeah, about a month ago, USDA sponsored a ag trade mission to India. And it actually ended up being the largest ag trade mission that they've had so far, because everybody realizes the importance of India. We had 133 people over there with 47 businesses and 11 state departments, and the government themselves, they sent Undersecretary Alexis M. Taylor. She's head of the Foreign Ag Service, and then we also had Ambassador Doug McCaleb. He's the USTR, the United States Trade Representative. He's the head ag negotiator under Catherine Tai. So not only did businesses, but the government recognize the importance of this. And we tried to make a real good showing to India, and we realized, well, how important they will be to trade with.
Yeah, such a huge opportunity there, it sounds like, with trade with India. Why, talk about this from your perspective, why this collaboration in India is so important for U.S. soy, Lance?
Well, of course, it's a sheer numbers thing. For one thing, there's 1.4 billion people in India. The average age is only 28.8 years, so they have a young, vibrant, growing population and economy. The next thing is just the way the world politically is shaping up. India, they've always kind of been in the middle. They don't really take sides. They deal with everybody. And we were discussing relationships while we were there. And they said, well, our relationship with Russia is kind of plateaued. They really don't want to do any more with Russia, but they're really relying on them, especially for their fuel. And the relationship with China is actually declining right now. They border China in a few spots. There's some conflicts. They don't really want to be that reliant on China either. They don't see them as a good long-term partner. And they see the U.S., our relationship is actually getting better with India all the time. Of course, we're the two largest democracies in the world, and they really want to do business with the U.S. One of the terms we were talking to the guys over there a couple of times, how they say in India, it has to be. You know, it has to be. That's how they would say it as far as our relationship with India. And so they're really wanting to work with us over here. And so we're glad to work with them. There's several issues right now in India that are happening. Their poultry production keeps increasing year after year, and they grow soybeans in India, and that's been pretty flat. And so we're just at the point where they're starting to need more soybeans or soybean meal for their chickens and their poultry than they can produce. We're right at the crossroads. In fact, here a couple years ago, they opened up a window and allowed a little bit of imported soybean meal in because they had a short crop. They're that close right now. And there was a temporary window, and they closed it. So they'll take it, but they kind of have a GMO issue over there where they don't want to import any GMO seeds at all. And so, but the soybean meal, you know, there's no risk of anything being planted. So we think our best option is to keep working with the poultry producers. In fact, we met with the chairman of the Poultry Association. We met with the chairman of the compound feed manufacturers. Yeah, U.S. Soy Export Council is very active over there. And we've been doing a lot of work internally in the country because the government's not going to listen to U.S. They need to open up stuff. But they'll listen to their producers because right now soybean meal is about $100 a ton higher in India than it is, than it would be imported even. So there's a lot of work we can do and a lot of opportunity. They're not necessarily opposed to GMO stuff because they've used BT cotton, GMO cotton, for 20-some years. Mm-hmm. They actually import a lot of soybean oil because they need soybean oil for cooking over there. And they import a lot of soybean oil, and that's just commodity oil, which would be GMO, and they eat it. So it's kind of all a political thing because they have like 800,000 farmers yet out of their 1.4 billion, and they all vote, and they're trying to protect them, you know. And I can't blame them, but they need to figure out a way. The average size farm was 5 acres over there, 2 hectares or something like that. And so they're trying to support these people and keep them viable and protect their livelihood, but yet allow for, you know, increased food and protein needs as it comes along here. So they're walking a fine line between feeding their people cheaply and supporting their farmers. And but there's a lot of opportunity because they're going to have to finally admit that they need more protein in that country.
Well, Lance, we're up against the clock here. Just as we wrap up, I know you mentioned how active USEC is in India, and I know USEC recently opened a soy excellence center in the country as well and had some meetings while you were over there for that ag trade mission. Real quick, got about a minute. Can you give us just a quick overview of that soy excellence center in India?
Yeah, quickly. Our goal there, we meet with industry people over there also, and we help train their employees, like mid-level employees, to how to raise chickens, how to market meal, how to do anything related to soy and its uses. And so we work with their industry again, and we help train their people with some modern techniques and everything. And so again, it's a good collaboration with India, and hopefully they'll have a respect for U.S. soy when we do get the opportunity to come in there. And another really exciting thing, people are pretty excited about that too. We hope it's a win-win for them and us on that.
Well, I know folks can learn more information online, ussec.org, usec.org. And with that, the chair of the U.S. Soybean Export Council, Lance Rezac. Lance, thanks for joining us here on AOA today. Always good to talk with you. We'll get you back on the show again soon.
Thanks a lot. Good luck to everybody and stay safe.
Lance Rezac there, the chair of the U.S. Soybean Export Council here on AOA, brought to you by Cenex. Every minute matters on the farm and ranch. Bulk premium diesel fuel storage can boost productivity and maximize your ROI. Learn more at Cenex.com. We'll talk with Barry Benson from FNBO about the ag economy on the way right after this. Every Tuesday, we're sitting around the table, sponsored by CHS, where we'll be talking with folks from throughout the cooperative system. Join us as we discover what makes cooperatives unique when there are more options to do business than ever before. We'll learn how farmers and ranchers like you benefit from a system where decisions are made by the members that own it. Tune in every Tuesday for Around the Table, or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-760-9937. That's 800-760-9937. 800-760-9937.
If you miss an episode of Market Talk, you can listen back to the show anytime. Just search for Market Talk on your podcast platform of choice, and you can hear past episodes of the program on demand.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions, with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And AOA today brought to you by Cenex. As a farmer, unpredictability is inevitable. Protect equipment with Cenex premium diesel to keep you in the field. Learn more at your nearest Cenex location or visit Cenex.com for details. Well, let's turn our attention to the ag economy and where things sit currently. Joining us for that conversation, good to talk with him again, VP of Agribusiness Banking at FNBO. Barry Benson's with us here today on the show. Barry, it's good to catch up with you. Hope you're doing well.
I'm doing great today, Jesse. How are you doing? And congratulations on the new baby boy.
Thank you. Thank you. A little sleep deprived here as the week goes on, but that is to be expected. And the coffee is strong here today. But everyone happy and healthy and doing good here in our household. So That's always good news. Let's dive in and talk what's going on with the ag economy right now. And let's just start with your overall thoughts as we're working through spring planting. We continue to see this kind of sticky inflationary environment hanging around here. For you, big concerns, big changes in recent weeks since we last talked. I mean, what's your perspective on how things look in the overall ag economy right now?
Yeah, you bet, Jesse. After a few good years in grain, we're off to more of a challenging start here to 2024. As you indicated, we've had some rains here in the eastern Corn Belt or in the Midwest, and that has certainly created some challenges for some producers. We were able to get an early start in April with some planting, and then the rains came towards the end of April, and many producers didn't have any wheels turning until maybe just a few days ago, and now are hit and miss on days that they can get in the field. So that has created definitely some challenges. You mentioned a little bit about inflation. That's been stickier than many had anticipated as well. And so, yeah, 2024 is shaping up to be some challenging, but there still remains some strong balance sheets out there with our producers. Optimism remains strong, and they're still working hard to get those seeds in the ground as well as get some cattle out onto grass.
Well, we got the PPI and CPI data out here this past week, the producer price index, the consumer price index, and mostly as expected to a little bit hotter than expected on the on both the PPI and CPI. And that kind of seems to speak to this inflation continuing to hang around and maybe interest rates higher for longer. Seems like that's kind of the feeling right now with the Fed and the overall economy. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely, Jesse. The numbers just really reinforce the Fed's wait-and-see ideas that they've been thinking for their last meeting. As you indicated, the CPI numbers were in line with some expectations, but they were higher than we'd like to see. Some of the good signs that maybe inflation is easing a little bit as new and used autos are declining in pricing. However, the bad news is gas prices continue to rise in April, and you can buy your car cheaper, but car insurance is really on the increase as well, and so that's showing some strong inflation. And really, the CPI numbers that we saw there in April was the 11th month and counting of inflation running at or above 3%. And in fact, if you really look at the last 3 months on an annualized basis, inflation is running at about 4.6% pace, which is really the fastest it's been going at since November of 2022. So that certainly does cause some concern. Late last year, we had anticipated, or the market was really thinking, there could be 6 rate declines here in 2024. When you and I visited in March, I was in the camp that there would be 3 rate declines towards the end of 24. And actually right now, the dance of inflation and unemployment really leads to rates staying where they are right now. So inflation has been outpacing or taking the lead in the dance moves with unemployment. And so really short of seeing those unemployment numbers take a spike, unfortunately at this time the market is maybe signaling that there maybe will be no rate declines here in 2024. And maybe at the even absolute most, it may be only just be 1. So certainly a different tune than what we thought before. So at FNBO, we encourage our customers to certainly use all their resources to be able to limit and manage their interest expense, as these numbers, although not historically high, they are higher than they were 2 years ago. And so it's certainly a number that they need to account for their break even. And we encourage them to use our tools and resources in order to best manage their cash and limit those expenses to hold their costs down.
We're talking with Barry Benson, the VP of Agribusiness Banking at FNBO, here today on AOA. Barry, how about the livestock producer? Let's talk about that a little bit. How are things looking for them versus maybe the grain producer? I know grains have rallied here as of late, and some farmers have maybe sold a little bit on the rally, and it's helping out that balance sheet there. But let's talk on the livestock side. I think, you know, 2 grilling seasons here, that could help with demand, things like that. Of course, though, we're watching, you know, just the supply side of especially beef. I mean, talk about for the livestock producer, how are balance sheets looking with your customers, et cetera? What are your thoughts with how they're managing this environment right now?
Yeah, sure, Jesse. They're in the livestock side is faring better than the grain side. And as I guess, actually, as I talk about the livestock side, that would really just mean there's really two sides to that coin. The customers that we predominantly work with would be beef and swine. So on one side of the coin, the beef producers are doing very well here in 24. We're looking at near record high prices for a number of different feeder cattle as well as fat cattle. However, you flip the coin on the other side, and swine has been bumping along. Had a really, really tough 2023, shown some signs of improvement here in 2024, but still a challenge. And so the beef balance sheets continue to build and grow. Swine is leaning on some of their leverage, as we talked about, higher interest rates. So those are impacting, the swine producers, and they're having some increased costs due to that and overall due to overall inflation. So, as we come up to grilling season, as you indicated, we're not too far from Memorial Day weekend, and that's the largest grilling month or demand for grilling season. So packers have been operating at a little bit of a loss here the last couple of months. This should help improve their margins to agree, as well as push some prices higher and continue to be favorable on the beef side and hopefully spark a little bit of demand or some more demand on the swine side. As you did indicate, grains have rebounded here in the last couple of weeks. I think beans are up some this morning. Corn looked like it was mostly flat. We're getting closer to what could be break-even prices or some profitability for a number of different farmers, so everybody's situation is different. At FNBO, we do encourage our customers to know their break-even and develop a marketing plan so when they get close or at that prices, they're able to take action. We know it can be very challenging as marketing gets to be emotional. I'm actually a producer myself, and so I look at those prices each and every day, and rearview mirror is always 2020, so you can say what could have happened, but you need to be able to make that decision and move on and certainly do what's in the best for their operation.
Well, and having that marketing plan down and set as well, it kind of contributes to that whole balance sheet, of course, on the operation. And I know that with this volatility and inflation and the whole environment we have right now, Barry, I would have to think you guys are echoing there to your customers at FNBO that it's important to make sure you have that robust balance sheet kind of in order, especially as folks are maybe having to look at lending needs, operating loans, and more moving forward, just things like that. Make sure you kind of have all your ducks in a row right now, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We do expect our producers to know their financial position. We work with them each and every day to help them more readily understand that and try to be the best partner we can to make help with suggestions and walk side by side with them to make their operations better.
Well, Barry, final thoughts here as we kind of wrap up today. Anything else on your mind about the ag economy or anything else you'd want to share or reiterate to folks today?
Yeah, despite some challenges that we talked about here at FNBO, we remain very bullish on ag. As we know, many of our producers are working hard each and every day. As I mentioned, I'm a producer. Many of our employees on our ag side are producers themselves. So we are living and breathing and working every day in ag. We do understand the ups and downs and the cyclical nature of agriculture. And so we know that although things may be not looking as great as they did 2 years ago, we know that our producers will work hard and find ways to pull through and keep producing the world's food, fiber, and fuel. And with that, we just wish a very safe planting season for everybody out there, as well as those cattlemen that are getting the cattle out to grass.
Well, with that, VP of Agribusiness Banking at FNBO, Barry Benson. Barry, good to talk with you again. Thanks for joining us here at AOA today, and we will talk to you again soon.
Sounds great, Jesse. Have a great day. Appreciate your time.
Barry Benson there with FNBO joining us here today on AOA, brought to you by Cenex. Long hours is the name of the game for farmers and ranchers. Cenex Premium Diesel helps to keep your trucks on the road and your farm equipment as well. Learn more online at cenex.com. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk with Jackie Facka, lead analyst for farm supply and biofuels at CoBank. She joins us next on AOA.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and don't have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you don't pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call if you've been injured in an auto accident. Call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Auto Accident Help Desk.
Farming is one of the most demanding professions in the world, and not just physically. Financial challenges, weather, markets, isolation, you take on a lot. But what about taking care of you? The Wisconsin Farm Center at DATCP or DATCAP is here to help. They have resources to help you with whatever the next step may be. It's free and confidential. Self-care isn't selfish. It's time to take care of you with the support of the Wisconsin Farm Center.
Double-digit gains in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnikins. At the Mercantile Exchange, June milk up 34 to 21.46, July up 17 to 20.67, August up 10 to 20.19, September up 17 to 20.04. Live and feeder cattle markets moving higher as market fundamentals are strong heading into the end of the week as traders are confidently advancing the feeder and live cattle markets. No cash cattle trade has developed, but the feedlots seem fully committed to putting higher cash prices in as they continue to note the increase in boxed beef prices. Hog markets are not seeing the same level of support that the cattle market is. As pork cutout values closed lower Wednesday afternoon, the cash hog market hasn't accomplished much this week, and traders are just selling it off. June live cattle up $1.32 to $180.35. May feeder cattle up $1.10 to $245.95. June hogs now down $2.12 to $96.25. At the Chicago Board of Trade, corn markets moving mostly lower on the day as a lack of fresh news to support the markets pressuring prices. Buenos Aires Grain Exchange did not change their corn production, even with all of the issues in South America. That's pressuring prices. Soybeans, though, they're moving mostly higher. Strength in some of the soybean oil contracts supporting the markets, along with the Buenos Aires Exchange lowering their soybean production estimates. And wheat markets are lower. New crop corn down 4 to 477 and 3 quarters. New crop beans up 4 and a quarter.
Rugged outside, comfort inside. Working outside all day, you want to be in control. And TYM Tractors puts you in control with the TYM Climate Control Cab. This cab is designed with your comfort in mind, with temperature controls, plenty of headroom, and noise reduction. Rugged comfort that makes tough jobs a little bit easier. Work smarter, not harder. But you can't buy a TYM tractor just anywhere. It's only sold at special authorized TYM dealers like Synergy Cooperative, Highway 25 in Ridgeland.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And thanks for sticking with us here today on AOA, Agriculture of America. Jesse Allen back with you. Today's show brought to you by Cenex. Selecting the right grease is critical. Cenex Premium Grease has helped achieve superior strength and performance. Trust your local experts at Cenex to find the right premium grease for you, or visit Cenex.com for more information. Well, happy to talk now with Jackie Fatka. She is the lead analyst for Farm Supply and Biofuels at CoBank. Jackie, how are you?
I am great. It is always such a pleasure to get online with you and chat. So thanks for the invite.
You bet. You bet. Well, I definitely want to talk biofuels with you and this SAF tax credit situation. I know a few weeks back, of course, we got the release on the updated GREET model. And we got the 40B guidelines, and now a lot of push from folks in the biofuel and ag industry for the 45Z credits. We need that guidance before that takes effect in 2025. And I guess just to start, I get the sense that there's a bit of a glass half full, half empty in terms of what we got with this initial release here for the SAF tax incentives. I mean, your perspective on that, as you've had a couple weeks now to kind of digest what we got from the Treasury Department.
Yeah, so the 40B, it was something part of the Inflation Reduction Act. And I kind of chuckle because, you know, we talked about years ago when we were trying to figure out, well, if Congress was going to pass this Inflation Reduction Act, and they did. And so now we're starting to see some of those climate policies go into effect. And 40B was the tax credit for sustainable aviation fuel. But you mentioned 45Z, which is also sustainable aviation fuel, but it also expands to other transportation fuels that have a certain CI, carbon intensity score reduction. So it's not just for sustainable aviation fuel. It's actually how much it reduces its overall performance, carbon emissions, the actual sustainability characteristics of it, I guess you'd say. So 40B is what we have now, but this is typical government fashion, right? We are halfway through 2024 and 40B was for 2023 and 2024. So we're just getting the guidance, you know, nearly a year and 5 months into the two-year program. But that 45Z is supposed to go into effect next year, January 1st, 2025. And so even this week, there was a letter from the groups who are saying, hey, we need this guidance, because if we don't get this guidance now, we're going to see plants shut down. We're going to see demand loss, because you have to know the rules of the game. You can't just think that you know the rules, because regulations are really what's dictating and driving a lot of this. So, you know, that's kind of the big picture on 40B, 45Z. But as you mentioned, I wrote a paper, Good, Bad, and the Unknown. You could probably call it Good, Bad, and the Ugly. But, you know, the unknowns is what we don't know, right? Like the 40B was really kind of seen as this pathway forward on what we could see on 45Z. And the 40B, there were some good things in that guidance. You know, probably one of the best parts of it was it did recognize that the actions that farmers take, climate smart actions that they take, they can get credit. Now, the bad part, they did a check the box. So instead of giving a individual CI score reduction for cover crops or for no-till or for nitrogen stabilizers, they required all of those, and you only got a 10-point reduction for corn. Mm-hmm. And for soybeans, you only had to do cover crop and no-till, but you only got 5 points. And so really the value of that point could have been as high as 30, 40, even 50 points if you start to stack on manure, you know, using manure from your farm to put on instead of fertilizer. If you're using a different type of product, even, you know, seed genetics have been found to improve your sustainability on the farm. And so, you know, that was one thing that, yay, thanks for acknowledging that climate smart practices are worthy of reducing emissions, but not to the full value, right? So that's mm-hmm. that's a big thing that we kind of saw, is that maybe this isn't as great. You know, we did actually get a better, they did not give us a penalty on the indirect land use change that a lot of people thought. So that wasn't something I really dug into in my paper, but a lot of people have mentioned that. Another kind of good, bad, right? You can't stack payments. So you can't stack your Truterra payment that you might be getting on top of maybe selling to a sustainable aviation fuel feedstock. So, you know, there's, like I said, there's good, bad, and unknown, and we can dig into that more, but I want to give you a chance to talk.
Yeah, well, and I appreciate all of that. And I know folks can look through this full paper you wrote, cobank.com/knowledge-exchange, or go to the Knowledge Exchange tab on the CoBank website. And I feel like there's been some folks saying that some of the practices kind of disqualify them in certain parts of the country where they can't maybe use all three. I know Senator Grassley, for instance, has come out and, you know, really called into question how this could be enforced and things like that. So I think that in my view, we got a good groundwork, but there's some things that I think a lot of folks, corn, soybean farmers, et cetera, want to see kind of refined here, Jackie.
Definitely. And, you know, I think this is a good first step. And again, letters out this week from all the major commodity or major groups who are advocating for the biofuels industry of, okay, this is what we have from 40B. And remember too, 40B is just for sustainable aviation fuel. We have very few actual up and operating sustainable aviation fuel plants right now. We've got LanzaJet, which is in Georgia, which surprisingly is not using US corn. It's using Brazil probably for their ethanol because of the lower intensity score with that. Montana Renewables is another one. But again, not a lot of sustainable aviation fuel. But if the goal, which has been proclaimed by the Biden administration, to get to 3 billion gallons by 2030, it is 2024. That is 6 years away. And right now we are less than 40 million gallons. So we're going from 40 million to 3 billion. Mm-hmm. That is a big jump from the M to the B when you are talking about the type of expansion. But if we don't have the regulatory structure in place, plants aren't going to be able to make that operate. And we're seeing some of that right now. The only way that the renewable diesel industry is able to make the money is if the California low carbon fuel credit system incentivizes it. And so it is more expensive to make renewable diesel. It's going to be more expensive to make sustainable aviation fuel. So if you don't have the tax credit in place, you're not going to be able to buy those feedstocks, and you're not going to be able to create that runway for this to really take off like it's really designed to do and mm-hmm. what the industry needs it to do. You know, as we look at electric vehicles and the number of electric vehicles that are coming on, we're going to slowly whittle away on the ethanol gasoline inclusion rate, right? So we've got to come up with a new demand for all that ethanol. We know how important ethanol is to rural America, to corn demand. And so we need a new market. We need to have a new opportunity for these gallons as we have more electric vehicles come on. We have lower gasoline potentially going forward. So again, it's about demand. It's about how do we make this work for farmers? How do we make it work for the biofuels industry? And you know, there's some good opportunities, but if we don't get this right, we're going to be left out.
We're talking with Jackie Facca from CoBank, and you bring up a great point. It's about demand, and that will help me segue to the next thing I wanted to ask you about. We've seen the Biden administration increase add tariffs on China here in the last week. And, you know, when I think about tariffs on Chinese goods and retaliation, I think soybeans. And we got a lot of soybeans here in the U.S. right now. So, I mean, I know we haven't seen anything retaliatory yet, but I feel like there's some concern about these tariffs. Used cooking oil was not on the list, though. Your thoughts on this whole tariff situation and what we could see moving forward?
Tariffs don't work, right? But yet somehow we keep trying to do them because exactly what you said. You know, there's winners and losers. You know, if you're going to poke a fight, then somebody else is going to get punched in the eye. And sometimes it's the innocent bystander. And for soybeans, they were the innocent bystander all those years ago. And unfortunately, you know, we had those trade quote war that happened several years ago, and we're still dealing with that, right? And it doesn't help when we have all these conversations kind of pointing fingers at about China owning farmland. And if you look at the trade data for this year so far, we are down and we have not made it up. And we have kind of pissed off our best. We are now a trade deficit when it comes to ag exports. And a lot of that is because we lost out on China. So nothing good is happening there. We are continuing to lose ground. We don't need to lose any more ground, right? So, but yeah, use cooking oil there. This week, President Biden did put some more tariffs on. One of them was electric vehicles. We only buy like 0.7% of our electric vehicles from China, but we increased the tariff on electric vehicles to kind of politica, you know, to give this a little political statement. But there was some hope. The last week we had some rally in the soybean markets because there was some hope that maybe they would include the used cooking oil on these tariffs. as one lobbyist said when I talked to him this week, he's like, yeah, that was really just wish casting. We were really just hoping that would happen. But, you know, it kind of came up pretty late. Now, it could still happen later this year that they could put tariffs on used cooking oil. And just for your listeners that may not be familiar with renewable diesel, yeah, it's an interesting market.
Yeah, it's a very, very interesting market. And we're up against the clock. We could probably go for another 20 minutes on this topic. I know, Jackie, folks could find more details and your articles on a lot of these different topics, including the SAF one, cobank.com under the Knowledge Exchange tab. Jackie, always great to talk with you. We'll get you back on the show again real soon.
Sounds good. Have a good weekend, Jesse. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. Jackie Factor there with Cobank. We'll talk with Alan Schaefer from the Engine Technology Forum up next here on AOA, brought to you by Cenex.
Memorial Day deals are here at Lowe's. Right now, save big on Scott's Naturescapes mulch. Get 5 bags for just $10. And there's more. Get up to 40% off. Plus, save an extra $50 on every $500 you spend on select major appliances. These deals are selling fast, so start shopping now. Lowe's knows summer savings. Valid through 529. Mulch excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Appliance savings vary based on purchase. See Lowe's.com for details. Selection varies by location. While supplies last.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Why do so many dogs suffer from weight issues, skin problems, messy poops, and low energy? It could be the popular dog food you put in their bowl each day.
Cody was sleeping a lot, wasn't playing.
She was very lethargic and not moving around.
Dry kibble just wasn't cutting it.
That's why, after more than 45 years of experience of helping dogs make complete health turnarounds, veterinarian Dr. Marty created Nature's Blend. It's a freeze-dried raw dog food made with wholesome ingredients like premium meats, seeds, vegetables, and fruit. And once dog parents switch their pups to Nature's Blend, the results can be astounding.
She's got her energy back. She's running around like she did like 5 years ago.
Miraculously, she's just feeling all around better. She's like a new dog. Thank you, Dr. Marty.
Get your dog started today and save up to 54% off Nature's Blend. Plus, receive a free pack of our best-selling beef liver dog treats. Go to drmartypets.com/good or text good to 511-511. Text good to 511-511. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary. Message and data rates may apply.
This is Around the Table, where we explore the benefits of cooperative ownership. Today, we're talking with Jim Morkin, CHS Vice President of Operations in the Pacific Northwest, discussing the importance of the Snake River to ag commodity shipping for growers in many areas of the U.S. Jim, why is the Snake River an important part of the grain supply chain in the Pacific Northwest and the upper Midwest?
Currently, about 55% of the wheat exported from the United States flows through the terminal facilities located in the Pacific Northwest. This is shipped primarily via rail and barge. More specifically, about 10% of total U.S. wheat exports move through the four locks and dams located on the Snake River.
Well, the Snake River is also important to non-ag interests. What's the situation?
There's been a long-running lawsuit to restore declining salmon and other fish populations on the Snake River. A recent agreement between federal, state, and tribal officials included funds to continue to study the best solutions to improve salmon populations while keeping a vision of the significant economic importance of the river to this region. One of the options being discussed could include the complete removal of the dams, which, in addition to stopping all barge transportation, would eliminate a substantial source of clean, renewable hydroelectric energy.
Well, how would changes to the Snake River infrastructure affect farmers and their cooperatives?
Any substantial changes to the Snake River, which would render it unnavigable, would have a huge impact on agriculture throughout the region. The grain would need to find another mode of transportation to reach the export facilities. It would also impact irrigation, which currently makes this region much more productive.
Well, what efforts are underway to ensure grain continues to move from farms and co-ops to export terminals in the Pacific Northwest?
CHS and the cooperative system is working hard to advocate for a responsible solution to help the Snake River ecosystem while preserving production agriculture.
Thanks for joining us around the table. Learn more about the benefits of cooperative ownership at cooperativeownership.com.
We've been fighting the war on drugs for a long time. We answer the phone 24/7, 365 days a year. On a busy night, we answer hundreds of calls. This war on drugs needs our intervention.
Since 2014, Addiction Hope and Helpline has helped people struggling with drugs and alcohol.
When the phone rings, we help people when they need it the most. When we get a caller into treatment, it feels good. It's a blessing.
If you're struggling, drinking, using, and need to get clean, don't suffer alone in silence. Call Addiction Hope and Helpline.
Our people understand, and many are also in recovery. Call for support and strength. You can call for someone who can't or isn't willing. It's an act of love. Together we can help you beat this thing and erase addiction from your vocabulary once and for all.
Call 800-320-1993. That's 800-320-1993. 800-320-1993.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Welcome back to AOA, brought to you by Cenex. Every minute matters on the farm and ranch. Bulk premium diesel fuel storage can boost productivity and maximize your ROI. Learn more at your nearest Cenex location or visit Cenex.com for more information. Well, right now, joining us here on the program, he is the executive director of the Engine Technology Forum. Alan Schaefer is back with us here on AOA. Alan, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
I'm great, Jesse. Thanks for having us back.
Well, I appreciate the time. And just to start, I know, of course, last week was the Ag on the Mall event in Washington, D.C. with so many great folks throughout the ag industry showcasing on the National Mall. And I know you guys took part in that event as well. Can you give us kind of a recap and rundown of how things went there in D.C.?
Sure thing. Well, we had a great 3 days, thanks to the Association of Equipment Manufacturers for hosting this second time event. It is a display of modern agriculture on the National Mall. So those images you see of the Capitol at one end and the Washington Monument at the other, and that big green space in the middle, is that's where they held the event. So it was really front and center on the doorstep of our nation's policymakers and leaders. So it was a great opportunity to meet and greet some of our elected officials from Capitol Hill and from some of the government agencies. So we had a really good 3 days, and the weather held out just fine. So all of that was good. We did have a chance to share insights with folks about the continued role of internal combustion engines and renewable fuels in the ag sector.
Well, good to hear. It was a great event. And obviously, that opportunity to get in front of many stakeholders there on Capitol Hill is always a good one as well. A couple other things I want to talk to you about in terms of what's going on in D.C. One, at least, is the Diesel Emissions Reduction Act. And we got Senate passage of that. And I know you guys, the Engine Technology Forum, have called on House leaders to prioritize action on that that act here as well. Now that we got Senate passage, talk about what this is and what this would do.
Yes. Well, since the 2007, I believe it was, the Congress passed legislation known as the Diesel Emissions Reduction Act. And basically, this sets out the opportunity for $100 million a year to flow from EPA to the states and to individual projects around the country that reduce diesel emissions. And they can be in any sector. Money has gone towards school buses and freight trucks predominantly, but some has flowed into the ag sector as well. And so the idea is that these are funds that are shared with individual fleet owners or farmers or others who have a piece of equipment that is worth upgrading, and they happen to be in an area of concern about air quality. The government will provide some assistance for modernizing, upgrading, in some cases repowering engines of machines and equipment. And so, you know, for example, you could get up to 40% of the cost of a new engine covered in some areas and some applications. So it's been a very successful program. It's unique in that it is the only program that provides assistance for off-road engines and equipment like those used predominantly in the ag sector. So we're delighted to see that the Senate has taken some action here. And it's been about a year in an effort to try and get it to this point. And now we have to wait on the House action. So what this is would be just a reauthorization, and it would continue the program for an additional 5 years through 2029. But the program, just to give you some perspective on what it's accomplished, I think about $800 million has flowed into the program over its lifetime. And for every $1 that the government puts in, the country receives more than $10 in benefits in the form of fewer emissions and other kinds of lesser impacts on society and health. So it's a hugely valuable program with a great ROI. And it's been supported from a bipartisan perspective since the beginning. And so we're hoping that that trend continues here in the House, and we'll see what happens. But, you know, we fully expect that it'll be taken up sometime before the end of the year and hopefully find its way to the president's desk.
Well, Alan, I know, of course, legislation like this on Capitol Hill, a good thing. We've talked before, plenty of challenges, though, in D.C. with, I think, about things at the EPA with some of their tailpipe emissions rules and more. And there's, I know when it comes to work you guys are doing at ETF, there are some challenges out there with regulation that we're still watching pretty closely, aren't we?
We surely are. The other thing I want to just point out is that we also have, I think, a major effort now brewing really across the country to push EPA to revisit their renewable fuels policy. And this is of particular importance as we look to see whether or not we're going to be able to achieve some of the climate change goals that the administration has set forward. And the current policy that EPA has was set last summer, and it was basically a no growth policy. In fact, some of the production volumes that they set were even below what was already happening. And so that's quite disconcerting to everyone in the supply chain, from the farmers that are raising the crops, the soybean, those that are, you know, gathering used cooking oil, animal fats, other things that go into producing renewable biodiesel fuels. Up and down that supply chain, this really sent, I would say, kind of a negative signal. It says that, you know, we're not really pushing for growth in this sector. And we think that's a problem. And so we have a national effort underway right now to encourage a revisit of the renewable fuels policy and to establish some growth-oriented volumes in the future. So that will open up more opportunity for producers and suppliers to be eligible for financial incentives, tax credits, and other things that'll make it worthwhile to keep producing these desperately needed low-carbon renewable biofuels. I mean, they immediately can cut emissions anywhere from 50 to 80%, depending on the feedstock. And you can use them in any existing diesel engine, or in the case of gasoline, ethanol can be used in up to certain blends in all gasoline engines. Yeah. So more renewable fuels is better for us as a country, and we need to have that.
Well, we're out of time. Alan, great thoughts as always. Folks can learn more at enginetechforum.org. Take a look at all your great research there and more. Alan Schaefer with the Engine Technology Forum. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
Thank you.
All right, we're out of time on AOA, brought to you by Cenex. Thanks for joining us. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day. When news happens in agriculture, or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms, and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast.
Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that wasn't your fault, we have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions. They'll tell you if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-710-5220. So if you've been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, call now. Find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-710-5220 to speak with a live person now.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center. May not be available in all states.
What seems to be the problem?
Doctor, thank God. My husband found out Cricket Wireless has 5G plans for $15 a month, and his jaw just dropped.
Oh. Did he hear about Cricket's blazing fast 5G?
Yep.
Uh-huh. What about their reliable nationwide coverage?
Yes, that too.
Uh-huh. I see. Unfortunately, there's no cure.
Oh.
But you will have really fast 5G.
Yeah.
Get jaw-droppingly fast 5G for $15 a month. Smile, you're on Cricket.
Cricket 5G requires a